Good morning, Milliways, and welcome to Podways, your monthly Milliways Mod Made podcast. We're coming to you live from many, many places and many, many time zones to bring you the latest roundup of what's hip, what's hot, and above all, what's happening at the bar at the end of the universe. This is Sophie speaking, and I'm here with my co-mods and co-hosts, the wonderful Meg and Josie. Say hi, girls.
Hey, this is Josie.
And this is Meg.
It's the start of a new year, and just around the time when those New Year's resolutions are starting to fall by the wayside, as we all remember what lazy assholes we really are. Because you're all such diligent players, we know each and every one of you must have resolved to try and do better in keeping up with what's going on at Milliways. But, because we're such awesome mods, in the face of the annual January blah, we've decided to give you a helping hand.
Every month, in theory, Podways will bring to you a quick overview of the latest tragedy, romance, drama, and action adventure in Milliways. We'll give you short summaries of the major plots that have gone down in the past month, interspersed with our witty commentary. Now, because we were keen to get the January podcast off the ground before, well, the end of January, we did a very quick roundup ourselves. But for future months, what we'll be doing is setting up a submissions box, which you'll be able to find under the Podways Submissions tag in the back room, for you guys to send us summaries of your own plots. Milliways, as you all know, is kind of like weasels on speed, and we won't have time to go hunting ourselves every month. What we see in the submissions box is what goes on Podways.
Also on Podways, you'll find things like Canon of the Month, which we'll come to later, birthday wishes and shoutouts, a quick spot on any updates and rules or procedures, or if anyone has an FAQ of the month, that sort of thing, and anything else we get into our heads to talk about. Likewise, throughout the month, we'll be taking submissions and suggestions for all of these, so get thinking, Milliwaiters. And now, back to you, Josie, for the first of the plot recaps, this month on As the Universe Ends.
Thank you, Sophie. There are many villains populating the ever-expanding barroom at Milliways. Some are flamboyant, colorful bad guys. Traditionalists, if you will. And some are more subtle, and may even seem to be good around midsummer or so. Blodwyn Rowlands, resident of Milliways for over a year now, is the latter. At first she seemed kindly, even motherly, to many of the patrons as she populated one dark corner of the bar, ever smiling, ever sipping tea, ever knitting. There were those who knew better, and they were proved right. Blodwyn Rowlands was and is the White Rider, one of the immortal great lords of the dark, given irrevocably and wholly to evil. Although from time to time hints of her subtle malice would show through, for the most part she was content to bide her time and to wait for the coming of winter and the rising of power that the deep cold would bring to those of the dark. For a year she bided her time, observing, and as the fall turned to winter, her power began to wax. She sought out the weakness in others, used it to her advantage. Her knitting, previously innocuous, became sinister. A white woolen blanket with a silver trap spell woven all through it. Mary Lennox, Puck, Sharp, Cipher, Tim Hunter, and Caspian all fell under her spell unwillingly. A few strong individuals like Raven and Nita Callahan were able to break free, and still others, like Draco Malfoy, went into her service willingly. All of this took place away from the watchful eyes of security. Blodwyn's motives were escape and revenge on those who had defeated her before. Her obsession cast a dark pall over the entire bar. Through her actions and her influence over so many people, she harmed others' trust, safety, treasured memories, friendship, comfort, happiness, faith, security, and very nearly the bar itself. Her opposite number, the Black Rider, was also biding his time, preferring to let Blodwyn do the dirty work while he collected the power she set loose. On Twelfth Night, the night of the Dark's greatest power, Blodwyn and the Black Rider came together to finish what they had started with young Mary Lennox as their guide, trying to get through the portal in the Milliways greenhouse to Yorkshire and to freedom. The opposition came up against them, and there was a great battle, which was ended abruptly when Dorothy Gale's house fell on the evil witch, not killing her, but at least rendering her nearly powerless for the time being. The bar's residents are slowly getting back to normal, and Blodwyn is neither gone nor forgotten. What remains to be seen is how fierce retribution will be for those who stood up against the dark and won. Thanks to Aspen for her beautiful summary, which is linked in this month's liner notes. Sophie, back to you.
We've had a good few epic plots this week, so if any of you want to take this opportunity to pause, maybe go to the bathroom, obtain refreshment before I move on to the next one, now might be a good time to do so. Okay? Okay. Those of you familiar with Marvel canon will already know how beyond confusing their timelines and alternate realities are, and those of you who don't, well, just nod and smile. Rachel Summers, also known as Rachel Grey, is from an alternate future in the X-Men-verse, who travelled back in time to the present day. Jean Grey of the present X-Men has always regretted not being the actual mother of her alternate universe future daughter. But with Wish in the bar, all bets are off. You with me so far? Good. Wish rearranged reality to make Jean's wish come true, but the shock of having all her memories rearranged as well sent Rachel running for the hills in fright. Unfortunately, as usually happens with superheroes, and especially X-Men, Rachel ran into an old enemy, Gaunt, and fell into his trap, becoming his prisoner. Back in Millieways, Hank, aka Beast, eventually started to wonder where the hell Rachel had gotten off to. When Wish told him, Hank hopped too, starting to recruit a team of intrepid adventurers to bring her back. Things got really interesting, though, when the Phoenix Force, the energy force that gave Rachel her powers, fled back to Millieways and possessed one Malaka Frey. Along with Goldilocks, Alana of Trabond, Max Guevara, Arathon, and Kitty Pryde, Mel and Hank headed off to rescue Rachel. There were thrilling heroics, there were epic battles, there were explosions. Finally, bruised and battered, the majority of the rescue team arrived home, and Rachel was rushed into surgery. The team spent a few days lounging about the infirmary getting patched up, and Rachel still got a long road ahead of her to recovery, but for now, at least, things seem to have quietened down. Major thanks to Sam for a sum-up of this plot, and check this month's liner notes for a link to a backroom post with all of the major threads linked within. Meg?
A couple of weeks back, some, well, sentient rock and roll, as seen in Soul Music, followed one of the Discworld patrons into the bar, and proceeded to basically drive other people crazy in a musically inclined sort of way. We're talking eating, sleeping, and drinking music, and occasionally bursting into song to boot. 2 weeks later, Susan Death, Ray Stance, and a few others chased the music out of the bar. This is a massive plot, and we asked the MC for a rundown kind of at the last minute, so for more details, check out this month's liner notes for a link to a big damn summary in the back room.
In other news, it's been a busy month for the Millieways couples, with Beast and Catherine, Jag and Jaina, and Simon and Kaylee all tying the knot. Adam and Alana have joined the party, too, with a pseudo-wedding tribal adoption thing. Courtesy of Song of the Lioness canon.
Similarly, people might want to keep an eye on one of the bar's latest set of lovebirds, Jack Driscoll and Satine. We cannot be the only ones who want an Andaro-Satine mud wrestling match to settle this once and for all. In the red corner, a tiny blonde Australian chick. In the blue corner, a tiny blonde Australian chick.
There can be only one. And, speaking of sexy showdowns, though this one is a hell of a lot more sinister, it should be noted that we now have all three of the Harry Potter canon's black sisters, and not a one of them from the same time and or continuity. Yet another family reunion in many ways that'll require security detail. And what with the recent birth of Anthony Tonks Wrangle on the 14th of January, and her sister's consternation over her son Draco's recent insanity, this is, shaping up to be an interesting few weeks for the noble and most ancient House of Black.
Tangentially, there's been more than one addition to the Tonks Wrangle family. After an out-of-Millieways sojourn in Southdown Abbey, one Hoban Washburn has not only regained the use of his leg, but also found out that his family, A, is alive, and, B, stretches a whole lot further back than he could have imagined. That's right, as verified by one 26th century A.J. Crowley, Wash is a Tonks Wrangle baby, 16, or is it 17 generations down the line.
Aww. There is some kind of deal with some sort of superhero sidekick alternate universe of Tim being in the bar, but none of us really have much of an idea what that's about. So, Mitch?
Because DC Comics is weird.
Yes.
So,
they're, yeah, like, worse than Marvel for their alternate universes. Anyway, and that's saying something. Mitch, if you want to send us in a summary for that, we'll feature it next month.
Also, this just in. Ron and Hermione officially in the sack together. People of Millieways, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to find out about this in character and make one or both blush bright enough to be seen from outer space.
Right, and now moving on to other topical matters. Something we'd like to address, because there seems to be some lingering confusion, is canon puncturing. Now, you might be wondering what canon puncturing actually is. Well, let me tell you. Canon puncturing, as defined by mod posts on the subject and by the FAQ, is sending your character up to another character and informing him or her that he or she is fictional in your character's world. This is not necessarily forbidden, per se, but there are strict guidelines to which you must adhere. First, if you want to create some existential angst for your own character by, say, having them find a copy of their canon lying around the bar, that's fine. But before you do so, you will need to check for permission with every other character from that canon in the bar. Likewise, if you should decide that another character is fictional in your world, before mentioning it in any way, shape, or form in the bar, you will need to receive consent from A, every character from the canon you decide is fictional, and B, every character from your own canon. This should happen, and this is important, every time there's puncturing going on, regardless of whether it's the first or 50th time it's occurred for a particular canon, so that everyone in the canon involved knows who's fictional and where. This is a simple matter of keeping everyone informed. We realize that this rule hasn't been as widely publicized lately as it once was. That's why we're reminding you of it now. If you have any questions, you're always free to email the mod account or to ping any one of us on AIM.
Something that might be a good idea, especially for those of you with canon-specific plotting comms, is maintaining a post with a list of every world that your canon is fictional in, and every canon that is fictional in your world. That way, everyone's kept up to speed and nobody winds up contradicting one another. And now it's back to Josie for January's Canon of the Month.
We here at the Millaways podcast would like to take some time each month to spotlight a canon that we think deserves a little extra love. January's Canon of the Month is Veronica Mars, the quasi-hit, quasi-teenage, quasi-detective show on UPN in the United States and on CTV in Canada. Millaways boasts an impressive contingent of characters from the show, including the titular Veronica herself. Lauded by fanish icon Joss Whedon as Buffy, girl detective, V. Mars, as it's commonly referred to by the indolent wastrels of the interweb, has found a lasting popularity among the players of Millaways. Veronica is an amateur private investigator, apprenticed to her father, the former town sheriff who was drummed out of office after a botched investigation into the gruesome murder of Veronica's best friend, Lily Kane. The show has a fairly episodic format, with self-contained individual episodes working themselves into the overarching season-long plot arc-slash-mythology. Season 1 revolved around the murder of Lily Kane. Season 2 is revolving around a school bus accident that killed several Neptune High students. The critically acclaimed but underwatched show is marked by the intricacy of its mystery plots and the ingenious use of throwaway details that turn out to be deeply important to the resolution of mysteries, both big and small. Veronica Mars is also acclaimed for its quirky but not cloying characters like the mesmerizing Lily Kane, the resoundingly kick-ass Keith Mars, and the troubled Logan Eccles. Adults act like real adults, and teenagers act like real teenagers, all within a plot framework that's anything but ordinary. The plot sucks you in, but the characters sell it. Season 1 of Veronica Mars is available on DVD through Amazon.com and at local media outlets. Season 2 is in progress. You can catch it Wednesday at 9 o'clock p.m. on UPN, or if you're from Canada, eh? V. Mars will be returning to CTV in summer 2006. Season 1 of Veronica Mars is currently retailing on Amazon.com for $44.99 and on Amazon.co.uk for about £25. Check out the links in this month's liner notes for further details. Happy canon hunting, kids, and check it out.
And for the final part of this month's podcast, the birthday wishes, we did the best we could whilst keeping this on the down low, so you'll have to forgive us if you're missing from the list. Podways would like to wish a happy birthday to all the January babies we could find. Maru, aka Asar Sutiman, Ali, aka Gil Grissomman, Mitch, player of Tim Hunter, Zadi, who plays Hotaru, Zephyr, playing Peter Hirkins, Jaime, playing Tim Drake, Kat, playing Mary Ann Bell, and Katie, mon of Benton Fraser.
Happy birthday!
As for the other topics, this will from now on be submissions box only, so if you do have a birthday wish or a message you would like to send out to any of your friends, put in the submissions box, folks. And that seems to be all we have for this month's podcast, so if you like it, do let us know. Let us know whether we should record one for February, and that's it. Millie Ways Mods, over and out.